Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Christopher Anderson. And Chris, today's topic, very timely for sure, because it's about how we are viewing the pandemic. Chris, can you elaborate?
Sure thing, Brandon. You know, we're all going through a difficult time right now with this continued pandemic, regardless of how much you've experienced directly related to it. We all thought that this would have gone away a long time ago. We were promised early on that 15 days to flatten the curve and then we'd be just fine. Well, you know, here we are going on almost our third year. And of course, many of us have been touched by the loss of loved ones due to this illness. But something that we need to do as Christians is be willing to look at this trial a little bit differently than secular society. We need to see this present challenge as something that could ultimately strengthen our resolve and build resilience in us, you know, to draw us closer to the Lord.
Well, Chris, you and I, not that long ago, were discussing the greatest generation and what that means. And I know that you had wanted to relate that to today's discussion.
I sure did, Brandon. First of all, a little background on the greatest generation. So the greatest generation included people born between the years of 1901 and 1927. And those were basically two generations before the baby boomers. And we started to see some significant and damaging shifts in our culture and views on things such as sexuality and morals with the boomers. But why was the greatest generation known as the greatest generation? Well, Brandon, clearly they had their issues back then too. Of course, they weren't saints by any stretch of the imagination. But why the term greatest? Well, to answer that, we really want to look at what they endured during those years. First of all, the term came into use not that long ago, quite honestly, and was made popular, believe it or not, by a book of the same name that was actually written by journalist Tom Brokaw. And basically, the folks born during this time came of age during the Great Depression. They fought in World War II, and we saw a tremendous amount of unity and strength on the home front as well. So while our bravest of brave and our military were fighting true fascism, as evidenced by the Nazis in Germany and the imperial powers of Japan, women and younger folks at home were contributing to the effort to support not only the war, but also to keep things moving here at home. So there was a need to basically step up to the plate, to put aside other pleasurable pursuits, and to really help the effort in any way they could. And also during this time, actually, which occurred before World War II, was the Great Depression. So we've seen the pictures, we've heard the stories, and how the Great Depression caused neighbors to have to pull together just to really survive. So additionally, we can all relate to this, the Spanish flu pandemic occurred in 1918 to 1920, which caused obviously a lot of deaths and additional strife and pressures on this generation. So you can see how much these folks endured and came out quite strong to merit that name, the greatest generation.
So, Chris, what do we need to do today?
We need to look at this present situation and not only the pandemic, but say the social unrest we're seeing, and quite honestly, the truly awful political maneuvering that we're seeing as well, is a need to refocus and look at ways of allowing this as Christians to push us back to the Lord and to get us in a relationship and a strength of our walk with the Lord in ways maybe we haven't experienced. Now, I've always said that something that bothers me is when we're faced with challenges and difficulties as a nation that I think are clearly as a result of our sinful choices, we'll throw up signs outside our houses or our businesses that say, God bless the USA. Well, I think one thing that needs to happen before that happens is we go before the Lord and repent. Quite honestly, the United States of America needs to turn back to the Lord and repent. Of course, revival is going to occur within the church, and then those that have this renewed level of relationship with the Lord can then encourage others and reach out to our unbelieving neighbors as an expression of our own relationship with the Lord. So in a nutshell, we as Christians need to ask ourselves, how does God want us to view this pandemic and other challenges, and how can he use them to strengthen us, but not to strengthen us to be able to say, look how strong I am, but to really say, look how God has used us to work through us, making us stronger in him.
Well, as a counselor, there must be some sort of a fine line in talking in these terms, especially when people are bringing issues to you that are very painful and, quite frankly, very difficult.
Oh, absolutely, Brandon. I just run the risk of oversimplifying this today, but as a counselor, I do need to be very sensitive to the needs of folks seeking help, of course. And I am talking more right now in terms of our society collectively and specifically within the church. Can we step up our efforts at supporting each other during this time? Because there's a ton of pain and suffering within the church of loved ones we've lost to the pandemic. And then can we also reach out to our unbelieving neighbors with encouragement and look for ways to build bridges and to strengthen each other? Now, there is definitely no lack of opportunities. And especially if we're into social media, we're really seeing plenty of opportunities to hear about and see people's struggles in how people are posting on social media. We just have to be willing to respond.
So true, Chris, and especially true with the season we're in. Any final thoughts?
Seeing these challenges as something that can strengthen, build resilience, you know, I would say is necessary. It also combats fear and anxiety directly when we're active in building people up. And this last note is for parents. You need to take an active role in helping your children, especially those preteens and teenagers, to understand that challenge and difficulty is a part of life. We are not guaranteed a smooth, pleasurable ride indefinitely. I mean, that is not biblical and it's not realistic in any terms. And I think that one of the big problems facing our young generations today is they need to be challenged and properly guided by parents and leaders in our churches to help process these events.
Well, you've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Christopher Anderson.